Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Welcome all back for the third day of the Book Distribution Seminar here in the Mayapur Academy. Thank you all for coming, for being on time. It's very exemplary. When I started in Sankirtan in 1984, I remember I joined, and I was 15 years old. Rohini Sudha Prabhu took me out to buy my first watch. He said, if you're a Sankirtan devotee, you need to have a watch, because otherwise you won't be on time. So that means if you miss that street corner, that time when they pick you up, then it's going to be a big drag for everybody. So punctuality is very important. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said on deity worship, cleanliness and punctuality, two most important qualities. So also in book distribution, punctuality. Not just when we start and when we stop, but also what happens in between. Also what happens after we distribute books. Punctuality. Because Krishna is time. He says, hello, time I am. And we have seen that if we utilize time in the best possible manner, then time can expand. Were you ever absorbed in your sankirtan and time just ceased to exist? It was like you merged into transcendence, into eternity. And you just didn't know anymore what happened and where you were and what was going on till somebody tapped you on the shoulder and said, Prabhu, it's time, you know? It's late. We gotta go home. And you're like, I just started. I just got here. You know? I wanna continue. This is good. Right? Huh? And sometimes, like, when you're sitting in an exam or something, you're like, how long is this gonna go? When is it gonna end? Huh? You ever felt the time that's just going on forever and you didn't know when it's going to stop? So when you engage in sankirtan, time takes on a whole different dimension. Sometimes you think, I've only been speaking to this person for a couple of moments, but actually, if you look at your watch, it might be 45 minutes. Therefore, rule number one, always put the book in their hand. Don't just stand there and talk. Always put the book in their hand. What will happen? They have to relate to the book, you see? If I'm just talking to you, you know, it's all fine. There's no commitment on anybody's part, right? It's just talk. But as soon as you take the book out and you put it into their hand, then you're implying that, you know, there's something going on here. So there's a commitment. That's good. Because it makes that person sober, qualifies the prospect, and he makes us sober. Because we're not just going out there to shoot the breeze and have a few laughs, you know, and pat a few shoulders and feel good about ourselves, and then we go home and we say, hey, we went out, we did the preaching. But we actually want to distribute books. So, time is a very important factor. Devotees always ask, so how long should an ideal exchange take? Well, it's individual. But it can be anywhere between, you know, a couple of seconds and a couple of minutes. I wouldn't spend too much time with one person. Because there's just that many people out there. Now, if you have somebody who's genuinely interested and very sincere and wants to ask a question or two, take your time, answer it. But if they see that you're busy, then they respect that. But if they see you got nothing better to do, oh, okay, you sit down next to them, you know, you get into their apartment and you start talking, then it feels like, yeah, okay, this is how it is. So basically speaking, you make the rules. It is whatever you want it to be. If you want it to be a 2-minute interaction, you can have a nice 2-minute interaction. If you want it to be 5 minutes, 10, 20, it's all up to you. There is no hard and fast rule. I've seen devotees doing very well in very short time, and I've seen devotees doing very well in long time. Try to find the golden middle, you know? like in kirtan. It's not that we just do one Sri Krishna Chaitanya and two Hare Krishnas and then Jai Om and that's it. Sharira namo namaha. Okay, thank you. But, you know, take your time, but don't drag it. When it's time to cut it, you have to cut it. Even sometimes it means they're not going to take the book. Fine, fair enough. We're continuing in our expectations. We promised you today we get into strategies, different styles and techniques. But before we get into that, I'd like to say a little bit something about tolerance and inspiration. Teacher of Karunika, Suridhar Saradehina, Machata Shastra Shantar, Sarva Sarvushana. And Shastra explains that the ornament of a devotee, of a sadhu, is not his jewelry or his fancy dress or all the other things the person possesses, but the attitude, the actual ornament on a devotee are his good qualities. What's the first good quality, Titiksha? Tolerance. How can we become more tolerant? Have you ever found yourself becoming intolerant? You get short-tempered? You get annoyed? It's like, if the person is just slightly off or not nice, then you kind of become upset. Where does that come from? Any idea? Why false ego?
Because it means that the person should just, like, you know, respect you.
Should respect you, should do what you say, should just follow your orders. And if they're not, then we get angry. So that means false ego. We're attached, we think we're the controller, we enjoy everything, we're the doer. I'm the lord of all that surveys. I make this exchange here happening. And if it's not going according to plan, then I become upset. Now before I start screaming and yelling my head off, I just get slightly annoyed and I become intolerant. Which manifests itself in different ways. Which I'm sure you're all familiar with. You've all experimented with these different, you know, variations. Then we start speaking to people in a not so nice way. We start behaving in a not so nice way. And they can feel it, you know? Very fast. Basically, Sankirtan is a lot about attitude. It's about attitude and altitude. Attitude, what's your attitude? What kind of an attitude do we have? What do we project to the person? Yesterday we spoke about that you have to actually like the people. You remember? Consider them as your eternal brothers and sisters. Like family. Like in a family, you know, this one's like that, that one's like that, but it's family, so it's all good, isn't it? They're what you got. You got to deal with them for, you know, for your life. They're always going to be your relatives. So in the same way, see every living entity as family. And in this way, one will start acting with them in a proper way. So the proper attitude is, I am the servant. I'm not only the servant of Guru and Krishna, I'm also the servant of all living entities. I'm also the servant of the rascals, of the fools, of the atheists. I'm the servant of everybody. Now we might say this is not a very respectable position, this is not very glorious, but this is very safe. Because if you put yourself down, number one, you can't fall. Because you're already down. You can't fall anywhere. You're in a safe position. Number two, if you put yourself on the ground, you act from a position of strength. If you think you're way up there, it's usually not working out. Because people don't like it. It's very arrogant. It's condescending. Because when you put yourself way up, and the people are here, then what happens? You're talking down. Now, do you like it if somebody's talking down to you? Not really. Isn't it? It puts you slightly off. So, but that's what's happening. If we think we're very great, that means we put ourselves way up, and then naturally, we start talking down on everybody else. So, attitude is something which is happening in the mind, and it is perceived through our words, through our nonverbal communication, through our mannerisms, through our entire being. So attitude is not just what you say, but much more how you say it. Like, you can say something very nice in a very condescending way. You know what condescending means?
Thinking you're better than them.
Yeah, means talking down on someone. You say something nice, but you... descending, condescending. So you're talking down on someone. And even though the words you're saying are, they could be flattery. Have you ever experienced somebody comes up to you and says, Prabhu, you're so great, you're so wonderful, you're so this and so that. Have you ever experienced it? Did you take it seriously? Why not? It wasn't real. First of all, the person doesn't know you. Right? Second of all, they don't care to know you. Third of all, they're just saying it in such an arrogant way that you feel that they're actually just waiting for you to fall down. And they would like that so much. So, in the same way, when we go out of the Shri Prabhupada's books, we should make sure that our attitude is proper. What's the proper attitude? Trinadipi Sunichana. Feeling oneself lower than the blade of grass. More humble than a tree. Tree gets rained on, the sun shines on it, the dogs pee on it, people cut things in it, some may cut it down. The tree is tolerant, giving shade, giving fruits. A straw in the street just gets kicked around. Now we may think, I don't like that. I don't like getting kicked around, and I don't like getting cut down, you know. The secret is that you're not too tall, but you're also not too small. Because in a forest, the trees which stand tallest, they're cut down first. But don't be so small that the goats will eat you. You understand? You have to stand up for yourself. Otherwise, if you're too little, then the goats will eat you. So, be somewhere in the middle. Like what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, right? If you want to be a yogi, don't eat too much, don't eat too little. You got to be moderate. As a book distributor, you have to be moderate. You have to be balanced. You can't go too much this side or too much that side. There's got to be balance. Because balance means steadiness. That's what we're looking at. I know some book distributors who've been out there for decades. Now, they're not big score people. They're doing their 10, 20, 30 books, but they're doing it consistently. 4 or 5 days a week. Year after year. Month after month. Decade after decade. And you have some, they come, they do 50 books, they do 100 books, and after 2 years you're like, what happened to such and such? Oh, you know, now he's selling cars down somewhere in Florida, or, you know. Thought he could make more money. Yeah, of course you can make more money. But that's not the point. The point is, we have to check, introspect on a constant basis, what is my attitude? Just like, I'm supposed to be your teacher here. Well, what does it mean to be a teacher? It means I'm your servant. It means I'm supposed to serve you and give you what you came for. The same way, when you're a preacher, when you're a book distributor, you are serving the people. So we are in the service industry. We are rendering service to the people. And that means ABS, always better service. Always try to improve on your quality of presentation, of appearance, of interaction, of lifestyle, of personal attitude and mentality. You know, people, they are pretty tolerant when it comes to externals. You know, the shirt you're wearing, the shoes, the this, the that, these are all just, you know, this is matter. This is all just external stuff. But when it comes to the human interaction, like, you can tolerate a lot, but if you feel that the attitude is wrong, it really rubs you the wrong way. So, but if the attitude is right, even if the place is not right, even if everything else is not right, if the interaction is right, it's perfect. Have you ever been to a situation, to a place which was not so nice, but still you had a great experience on Sankirtan? I think it happens almost every day. Because most of the material world is not so nice. I mean, wherever you go. And usually if the place is so nice, it becomes very difficult to actually talk to people and, you know, connect with them. I remember one time I was distributing books in Vevey, on the Lake of Geneva in Switzerland, the headquarters of Nestle. And Charlie Chaplin lived there. By the way, he got a Gita, and he was reading Bhagavad Gita in his last days, you know. Because one devotee knew the person who was waiting on him, who was, you know, taking care. No, he knew Charlie Chaplin's daughter, and he gave the book to the daughter. And then she said later on, Jai Gurudev is a prophet disciple from Czech Republic, and she said later on that in his last few months, he was sitting in his rocking chair reading Bhagavad Gita in his villa on the Lake of Geneva. Yeah. And he liked it a lot. Prabhupada liked his movies too, you know? He was original. He had humor. So the point was, it was December marathon, and it was a mixture of snow and rain. What do you call it?
Sleet.
Okay. And the funny part about it was that it was also windy, blowing. So it came from the side. Because if the rain falls straight down, you can wear an umbrella. But if it comes from the side, it makes it kind of difficult, you know, to wear an umbrella. So, but we were not in the giving up kind of mood. So we went out with 20 books, you know, stacked from knee to nose, carrying 20 books, going car to car. There's a big parking lot right on the lake. In the beginning, I was carrying an umbrella with the stack to try to hold it against you. You know, it's kind of difficult, you know, move around the books. Then it started blowing. It came from the side. So I knew it's not going to happen. So I just put the umbrella down. So today, it's just going to get wet. And it's going to be cold. So once you adjust your mind to it, that this is the way it is, all of a sudden, you don't even notice it. You don't even recognize it. I just went up car to car, knocked on the window. Told people, great day today, isn't it? Thanks for being out here. This is for you. This is for all the wonderful people who are coming. And they were thinking, like, who is this guy? So they just started taking books. I did 300 Maha books on that day, on that parking lot. So it's all in the mind. It's all your attitude. If you think, what am I doing out here? You know? Or who are these people? They will sense that. They will feel that. Even if you don't open your mouth. Now you might say, you know, they're eating meat and they're smoking this and drinking that and doing this and, you know, God knows what not. How can they know? Well, first of all, they know because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. And Krishna tells them, this person is attached. This person is arrogant. Don't trust this person. Don't give this person your money. Now, a neophyte person gets very disturbed. May think, what is this? I want to go out and distribute these books. And you're telling me that Krishna in the heart of that person tells him not to take the book? Yes, exactly. That's what I'm telling you. Well, then the neophyte may say, well, then why doesn't Krishna go out and distribute his books himself, you know? Why does he need me for? Why is he working against me? I mean, this is unfair, right? He's got the inside job and he's just telling them not to take it. Because you see it many times, you know. They have to wallet out, the money's in their hand, they take one last look at you, and they put it in. Nah. You know, if you had asked me in a nice way, I would have given you the donation. But like this, I'm not giving you. And then they see your reaction. You go... Have you ever experienced a situation like that? You already made your score, you know. You already made that... little, you know, you already put that mark down on your little mental notebook. This book is already distributed. What to speak, God forbid somebody brings a book back, you know? No returns, you know, no refunds. The guy who does the refunds, he's on the other side of town, you know? He's over there. You have to go and talk to him. I can't give any refunds. No, Krishna is in the heart of every living entity, and Krishna is a very kind Lord. If he sees that we get attached, that we develop the wrong kind of mentality, Krishna is very kind. Then he gives us the kind of treatment which we deserve, which we need, in order to improve our act. Don't worry, this person will get their book. I have seen people who approach devotees, and they don't buy the book, and then they walk up to me, and they buy the book. And then I ask them afterwards, what happened over there? You know, you just talk to somebody with the books. What was that? And they say, no, that was something completely different. That was not the same thing. You know what I mean? Because it isn't. Because if the mentality is different, it's all different. So attitude is very important. Now how do we develop the right type of attitude? How do we develop this servant mentality? Well, first of all, you know, we serve the holy name. We serve the Bhagavatam by studying it, by reading it, by absorbing it in our lives, by molding our lives, and by serving the Vaishnava. That gives us ample opportunity to practice this serving mood, this service mood. But if you're in the mood, me first, everybody else last, then Krishna may just, you know, make things a little difficult. He may put in a few breaks and a few stops and a few bumps, you know. Like these speed bumps on Indian roads, you know. You think like, hey, I'm styling, you know, I'm going full speed ahead, and then, woo, you take off, you know. So, attitude. What does altitude mean? Altitude means we get the proper perspective. Huh? Sometimes we are too much absorbed in our own little world that we can't see the bigger picture. Of course, we're individuals. We all have our likes and dislikes and our problems and our happiness and distress and all these things. But if you want to relate to people, you have to get out of the me, I, me and mine platform and come to the Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, the Shochitina Kamshiti platform. Samaksaveshu Bhuta Shumabhakti Mabhate Param. Because only on the Brahma Bhuta platform can you actually see the 360 degree, or at least as much as you're able to see and perceive. So that requires a certain altitude. Just like an airplane, when you're on the runway, it's not going left or right. What is it doing? It's just flooring it. It's just going straight and then up. And that means sometimes you have to put your head down and just floor it. You just have to give it some, you know, push the pedal to the metal, give it some gas, some speed, so you actually get somewhere. And then what happens? You put your wings up and you go up, right? Huh? And then sometimes there's that feeling, you know, like, oh, you're taking off. And you don't start cruising around, because otherwise you won't make it past the trees. You won't make it past the buildings. You won't make it past the mountains. So in Krishna consciousness, when we come initially, you know, we have some initial, we have some initial faith. Okay, this is nice. Let me check this out. This seems like a good gig, you know. These are nice people. This is fun. Let me do a little sankirtan and try this out. I kind of like this. But then, if we start going on cruisy mode, you know, I can just cruise around and check out this gig, check out that gig, see this temple, that temple. You know, I don't like this here, I don't like that there. So we kind of want to go and take the scenic route. But because we haven't gained proper altitude and our attitude is not yet refined, we crash. We don't make it. Seen it so many times. So initially, very important, all the energy, all the faculties, whatever we've got, just invest it into Sankirtan. And take off like a rocket. Don't worry. Once you're past the clouds, you'll see the sun is shining all the time. You know, once you're past the clouds, you've been in an airplane, Have you seen? Down it's raining, it's snowing, it's cold, it's, you know. But once you get past the clouds, what happens? Clear blue sky, sunshine. Hey, it's nice. Krishna consciousness is actually blissful. Right? Now, of course, you can always go down if you want to. Or you can stay up. It all depends on our own personal choice, our own individual choice. And depending on our experience and our taste, we can make that process in a moment. It can happen in a moment. Or it may take you a while. All depending on us. I know some devotees, they say, hey, I've worked now for 6 hours and now I'm there. You know, now I got to stop? What is this? You know? I worked so hard to come up to this level of consciousness and now I got to stop? This is very tough. So, always work on these two. Proper attitude and proper altitude. Huh? And then once you have the perspective, once you actually see things for what they are, then you can make some moves. Then you can make some adjustments. But initially, you got to put all your energy into the service to gain a certain level of proficiency, of experience. So, tolerance, to be tolerant. Actually, spiritual advancement is measured in how much we're willing to tolerate and to sacrifice and to accept hardship for the benefit of others. That is the sign of advancement in spiritual life. So we can see, how tolerant am I? When prasadam is late, when somebody, you know, talks with us not exactly in the way we want to be talked to, when somebody does something which we don't particularly like, then just watch yourself. Just see, introspect. How tolerant am I with this situation? And in this way we can see where we stand. Inspiration to continue. Now, of course, we all need role models, so when you're talking tolerance, just remember, Haridas Thakur. He was beaten in 22 marketplaces. He was, you know, they wanted to kill him. He was so tolerant. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was hit on the head with a pot. Srila Prabhupada, he endured heart attacks, seasickness, all kinds of obstacles to start this movement. Even when he came back to India, you know, people wanted to cheat him out of his money, wanted to take the land away from him. Sometimes his own men working against him because of their immaturity or foolishness. And Prabhupada just persevered. He just pushed on. Great ability to tolerate. Now, to be tolerant doesn't mean that you don't push on. It doesn't mean you just sit there and you tolerate. It means you do something. But if there is reversal, if there is, you know from physics, that if you push, what happens? There's a push back. There's the same force of energy which pushes back. It's in relation to each other. Sometimes it might even seem disproportionate. Like you push a little and whoa, you know? So much pushes back at you. So this ability to tolerate comes when we actually study the lives of the great acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada, and we see how much he endured, how much he tolerated. Then what is our? We just have to mainly tolerate ourselves. We have to be able to live with ourselves. I mean, that's the hardest part of life, isn't it? We have to tolerate our mind and our senses. That's basically our biggest challenge. Because let's face it, I mean, we're here, there's buildings, and there's festivals, and there's prasadam, and it's like, you know, paradise. Now back home, there's still snow and ice, isn't it? Calling folks home, you know, say, hey, I'm sitting in a t-shirt out here in Mayapur. Sun is shining. Just by being in devotional service and following regulative principles, we avoid 95% of all the troubles in the natural existence. And the rest, matrash pashas to kanteya, titoshna sukadukada, agama paineotityasamtipiksha. The other types of suffering which are inflicted upon us due to material nature, other living entities, the mind and the senses, you just have to tolerate it. They won't go away, but you have to suffer, but you don't have to be miserable. Huh? We're in the material world, there's got to be some suffering involved, but we don't have to be miserable. Again, it all boils down to attitude. So, the ability to tolerate is a great quality, and it is, if you ask me, it's one of the top qualities of a book distributor. That you're able to tolerate challenging circumstances, challenging situations, challenging people. Huh? Now, how do we become tolerant? Studying the lives of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, chanting Hare Krishna, and actually hearing the holy name, studying the philosophy, understanding I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, so whatever the body and the mind tells me to do, that's not necessarily to my best interest. Inspiration to continue. How can we be inspired to continue? There's a good friend of mine who's right now not present here, so I can talk about him. You know Prem Sankirtan? From LA?
He's right here.
Where is he?
No. My name is Pedro Sankirtan.
Huh?
No, this is not.
Oh, he's right here. No, it's like what's most close to you, you don't see it. I thought we just pretend he doesn't exist. Okay? We just pretend for a moment he doesn't exist. So, when he came and started distributing Prabhupada's books, it was very difficult. I asked him every time I met him, how's it going? And he said, it's very tough. It's very tough. But I'll continue on. I push on. I got a lot of inspiration from that. A lot of inspiration. Here is a person who comes from a nice place, from a nice country, you know, Adriatic Sea. You know, things are nice there. The climate is nice. The people are nice. I mean, some time back they used to kill each other, but now it's nice. Mostly nice people. They're only the bad people. And they've exported them to other countries. Anyhow. So, and he goes, you know, to America, and he just sticks it out, learns the language, you know, puts his head down, works year after year, year after year. How long are you there now?
You mean in the U.S.?
Yeah.
10 years.
And before?
Because in Denmark 2 years, in Germany 2 years.
He served all over, you know, almost 20 years of Sankirtan. Went to countries where he didn't speak the language, didn't like the culture, the mannerisms, but just surrendered. Huh? This is inspiring for me. Not because he's doing 500 books a day, not because he knows how to flip over backwards, you know, and, you know, but because he's consistent. He's very determined. This is very inspiring. So you find what's inspiring to you. Huh? That's your homework for tomorrow. Write down your main five sources of inspiration. By the way, did you do your homework? We have two homeworks. What was the first one, the first assignment? Yes. Why are you doing second term? Yes. Just one, the top. You're forced to be Krishna conscious when you do second term. Yes. What else?
For me,
it's
Prabhupada changing my life. I also want to help the people.
Okay, gratitude to Prabhupada.
Yeah.
What else?
The maximum amount of calories
you eat. Very good. You keep on eating like that, you know, you just fall apart. So you have to burn it off. You know, take huge breakfast and then jump right out there. Burn it off. Get back, take some more. Head back out. Very good. What else? Why do you go on Sankirtan?
my first intuition was, you know, Srila Prabhupada, because
okay.
I became a devotee through science of self-realization. So this has been, you know, my drive.
So you've given out a lot of time to stuff, bro.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You see? Now that's inspiring. If you feel something is very important to you, something which you feel strongly about, you know, like this book who came to you in an extraordinary way, then you want to give this to others. Because you see the difference it made. You see the before and the after. Right? Like they always show on those pictures, you know. First you have the big monster, and then you have the skinny little guy. You know, it's the same thing! And we all have seen the before and after, in our own lives and in the lives of so many people. Why do you go on a second? Adventure. Yes. Because you like it. You like the adventure, you know? You go out there, there's all kinds of people, you never know what to expect, you never know, you know. The person might go, bah! Or the person might go, you know, you never know what's going to come next. Expect the unexpected. It's exciting. Because let's face it, everybody needs some excitement in life, isn't it? I mean, why are people jumping out of airplanes, huh? Putting rubber bands on their feet and jumping, you know, doing all... They're so bored with life, you know? They're bored out of their mind. If you want adventure, go on Sankirtan. Because you will meet the unexpected. People will say and do things you could never imagine that it's possible. And Krishna will protect you. He will inspire you. He'll guide you. You know? And once you see, like remember this morning the class Prabhupada said that you may think you're here, but actually you're sitting in Krishna's hand. You'll see how Krishna is guiding you. You may be out there, like Arjuna on the battlefield, and there's thousands, there's millions of people. But you're just moving, you know? You're just cruising. And you're just connecting with different individuals, like that. And Krishna is driving your chariot! You ever had that experience on Sankirtan? Krishna just showing you the way to that person who was just right, who was just ready, huh? Moving. That is a very, you know, profound realization. What else? Today's Russian day. Tell us. Bajal. Yes?
Конфликтом от этот real life and this helping. Enlightenment for the people.
Die. Yes. Get a life, you know? If you want to get a life, go and thank yourself. That's the real life.
Freedom.
Freedom. Die. All the oppressions of the mind, you know? Of the senses. Sometimes you're in a temple and you're kind of like under a regime, you know, you feel like oppressed. Everybody's breathing down your neck and treating you in a certain way and wants you to do certain things. And you feel like, let me get out of here. So what's the easy way out? I'm going on Sankirtan. And nobody can say no, right? So you just pick up those books and you keep on going.
It's actually the most important activity for the welfare of humanity.
Most important activity for the welfare of humanity, yes. And you like to be part of that. Good. What else?
So many people want peace. This is the only way for peace is to Krishna.
So you give people the peace formula.
The real.
Yeah. Paramama, why do you go out?
Because the play.
Huh?
Best play.
Yes. If you think you're a player, and you think you got the looks and the moves, and you want to have some action, go on Sankirtan. You'll find your match. Huh? You'll find all the action you want. Huh? And you'll see that only if I team up with Krishna, I'll be able to be successful. You realize that on your first day of Sankirtan. I can't do this on my own. I need Krishna's help. Then you know, the teamwork, it's quite sweet. Because Krishna, you can depend on Krishna. He gives you all the information you need, all the intel, all the inside story, you know. Like sometimes I approach people, and they're kind of like, you know, and then you just start to talk to them a little bit about their life and who they are and what's going on. And they're like, how do you know? You know? Because you know. If Krishna wants you to know, you'll know. Huh? I always do this game. I always play this trick with people. You know, like, how old are you? I say, come on, you're not such an old guy. You know, don't be so conservative or so stuck up, you know. And then they say, oh, I'm so old. What do you guess? How old am I? Then you just look at them. And Krishna tells you. That's the age. 9 out of 10. Get it right. You can try. Try it. You'll be surprised. Huh? And you'll be surprised what it does to people. And many people, I ask them, I mean, usually not in the general line, but kind of like, you feel it. You ask them, so how long have you been a vegetarian?
And they're like, how did you know that I'm a vegetarian?
Oh, I can see it, you know? Your peaceful nature, or this or that, you know? Like Vaisheshika is using these lines. We're getting into techniques here, but that's okay. It's on the list. Goes up to people, puts a book in their hand, says, this is a book on yoga meditation, teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? Really? You have?
Yeah.
No. But you look very peaceful. You look very calm. What's your secret? You know, I can see it in your eyes. You're a very peaceful person. What's your secret? You know, if you want to make friends, if you want to have people who like you, ask them for advice. If you want to have everybody hate you, start giving free advice. You know, you make a big sign, free advice all day long. People will hate you. You know, actually, the world is very simple. You flatter people, you ask people for advice, you give them money, and you give them respect. Everybody loves you. It's very easy. You might say even in ISKCON sometimes, but that's not how it works with real friends. You know, real friends are people who even they go against you, you love them even more. Even they criticize you, even they put you on the spot, you actually feel that this person likes me, because this person is concerned about my well-being, and not about his image of feeling, oh, I'm a good guy, or he likes me, I like you, let's pat each other on the back, and walk away thinking, oh, I wonder when this guy's going to fall down, you know? But if you actually care about somebody, you'll tell them the truth. So, the point was, you look very peaceful. I can see it in your eyes. What's your secret?
I reach for the Prabhupada's books.
Okay, very good. Or they might say, I walk my dog. Or they might say, yeah, you know, I do gardening. Or they might say, I do meditation or something. And then you say, wonderful. I knew it. We need more, you know, such peaceful, happy people like you. Now, what does that do? That simple little exchange, what does it do to the person? They open up. All the defense, all the who are you, what you want, all that stuff is gone. It's finished. It's just, here is a nice person. Why is he a nice person? Because he appreciated me. He actually cared about me. He asked me for something very personal, very meaningful, very deep. Then, you know, you continue, you explain the book, you get into things. Then I ask people, are you more the philosopher type or more the spiritual kind? Formerly, I used to ask people, you're more into history or philosophy or psychology, like that. And I would use a lot of energy to get into all these categories and things and this and that and explaining and a lot of talk. But now, since I've become older and a little more impatient, it comes with old age, I've heard. Like you saw this morning in class, you know, great class. But it's a certain drive and a certain level of impatience, you know, time constraint. So, I just ask people, are you more the philosopher or more the spiritual type? And they're like, what do you mean? I say, well, are you more in the head or more in the heart? And you'd be surprised. You know, you have the people, you know, grease on their hands, big boots, this, that, working clothes. I think I'm more the spiritual kind. Just ask people. They will tell you what makes them tick. Like, you want to get the info about this person, right? Because you want to connect to that person. What's in it for me? What makes it important? How can I give this person the book? You want to know what makes them tick? You just ask them. What do you like? But you don't just say anything, you know, okay, what do you like? I mean, what do you mean? You know, like soccer or bikes or, you know? So you qualify. So you say philosophy or spiritual. And we can work with both, you know? No matter what they say, it all comes down to like I was in Bali distributing books in a mall. I gave a kid a book and he was like 18 or something. Said yoga, meditation, peace of mind. He said, I'm not interested in that. And I said, what are you interested in? I said, I'm interested in God. I want to know about God and how to love God. I said, very good. I got a different book for that. So I took it back and I gave him a different book. And he got it. Now you may think, you know, this is just a cheap trick, right? But I sincerely meant it. And he took it. So no matter what they say, you know, are you from here or out of town? Oh, wonderful. Then you're qualified. This is, you know? You have to qualify the prospect. And how do you qualify the prospect? By identifying their need. You know, before you talk product, there has to be a need. Like before we talk about food, there has to be hunger. If you don't have appetite, you're just not bothered. They could be having a huge thing out here, you know? 50 course banquet, but if you just ate lunch, are you bothered? You're not bothered. So first there has to be a need before you can talk product. So what is the need? What is the need in the prospect? And what is your need? Think about that. Write it down. Now another question. What are you selling? And what are the people buying? Just think about it for a moment. What am I selling? And what are people buying? Any ideas? They buy you.
Yeah.
The person.
Yeah.
Okay. What else are they buying?
People buy something to make them happy.
They buy happiness.
Happy.
Yes.
And we are selling them.
Yes.
The
it's not the bags and all that stuff. It's the feeling, the emotion, the excitement. What people equate with happiness. What else are they buying? Yes, but they don't know that yet. So what are they buying?
According to what you said, your appreciation of them and your end.
People are craving for appreciation. Everybody wants to be appreciated, everybody wants to be acknowledged, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody's looking for that stuff. If you've got appreciation to give to others, you got a good business going. You'll be in high demand. So first you have to study, what are people looking for? What do they want?
Relationship,
yes. They want a meaningful and, you know, positive interaction. They're looking for that. Because, you know, it's a hard world out there. It's tough. Not many people, you know, really are interested in each other or care about each other. It's like you go on the street, you look at people's faces. You see them rushing through traffic, going to work, going to shop, going to eat, going to meetings, going to shop, going through traffic, going home, going through their family routine. People are looking for meaningful relationships. Now you might say, what is this? You know, I'm interacting here for 2 or 3 minutes. How much relationship, how much interaction can we have? You'd be surprised, you know? You'd be surprised. You can have very meaningful and very deep exchanges with people in very short time. I travel a lot. And you'd be surprised on how much people open up on an airplane, you know? Because they know, this is going to last for 2 hours, and I'm not going to see this person for the rest of my life. So let me tell him everything. You ever had that experience? You may have done it to others, yourself. Huh? To tell your life story. Because, well, you care. You're not going to see this guy anymore, you know, so what the heck? So in the same way, when you meet people, and you're actually open, you know, you have an open heart, and you're ready to share, people actually open up. Now, of course, there is limits to that, and we have to know how to deal with that, so not to absorb their energy and their vibration, but just to open them up, to get them interested, to give them the book, give them a positive impression, and move on. But we have to learn the art to actually interact with people in an open way, without becoming contaminated, without becoming attached, without becoming confused, you know. That's sankirtan. That's preaching. It's not just, hey you, go over there, take a book, put some money there, and walk away. You have to actually have an interaction. You have to actually deal with the person. Because if I'm not caring about you, why should you care about me? If I'm not interested in you, why should you be interested in me? Now you might say, I'm not interested, you know, like, I'm not interested in his job, and his girlfriend, and his dog. But if that's what it takes for this person to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam, then you ask him, how's it going? How is your dog? How is your relationship? How's the job doing? You see a businessman? You want to talk philosophy? Good luck. You ask him, how's business? Did you make your million today yet? And you see the big smile coming on his face. Now you're talking my language. You understand this point? You have to see what is that person's language. Then you don't have to get into the whole thing. You just say one sentence. That's enough. And that gives the person the understanding. You understand him. You appreciate him. You validate him. You accept him. Everybody wants to be accepted. Right? Why do you want to be a Sankirtan devotee? Because you feel accepted, right? You feel this is cool. This is, you know, I'm one of the men. I'm one of the women. I'm one of the people. You know, we're doing it. They're part of the team, right? There's a certain level of acceptance. If you tell people, oh, you know, I'm just fixing things, or I'm just cleaning this, or doing that, you know, I'm just the driver. I'm a Sankirtan devotee. Of course, if you're doing devotional service for Krishna, no matter what we're doing, it's glorious. If you say, I'm cleaning Krishna's pots, you know, I mean, this is pretty elevated service, you know. This is what the gopis are doing, you know? They're cooking for Krishna and they're, you know, arranging things for Krishna. Pretty high level. But we tend to see things, you know, in other proportions. Anyhow, the point is, people want to be appreciated, they want to be validated, they want to be accepted. So as a little tip, just try it out. Just accept the person in front of you for what they are. Or even what they think they are, and give them a compliment. Just like an example. There was a lady in America in a temple, and everybody gave her a hard time because she was spending a lot of time and effort on her makeup and on her hair and the whole thing. And the devotees were so fried of her because she was hardly doing any service, and they really gave her the rap, you know. They really made it clear to her that this is off and this has got to stop and this is bad. So she really started feeling bad, and she was ready to leave the temple and leave ISKCON. So then one time, she was there, Prabhupada was there, and Srila Prabhupada looked at her and he said, you have you really look nice, or I don't know how he said it, you know, you made your hair in a nice way or something. He gave her some compliment. And she felt so good about it that she stayed in the temple, you know, she put on sari and she didn't need it, the hair and the makeup and the whole thing anymore. Why? Because Prabhupada appreciated her. She felt acknowledged, validated, accepted as a person, as an individual. Now we are all looking for that. Huh? But why are we not ready to give it to others? If we are looking for it, why are we not able to give it to others? I've sold, I've distributed lots of books. Just on the level of, hey, you're okay, I'm okay, this book is okay. You give a donation, it's okay. You know what? Life is going to be okay. Oh, alright, okay, fair enough. And it may sound simplistic, but you know, some of the most simple things are very sublime. But our nature in Kali Yuga, and going through the educational bewilderment process, is that we see things in a very complex and in a very sophisticated and in a very, you know, intricate way. And that kind of disturbs us, you know. We become many-branched, bahushaka. So, we're getting to technique. We'll talk about strategies today, don't worry. How to increase scores. Well, we spoke yesterday a little bit about how to increase and how to become steady. You remember? If you continue and you put your effort, you put a continuous effort into your activity, then you increase quality and quantity. Now somebody may say you're only looking for quality. No, Prabhupada is also looking for quantity. Huh? Both have to be there. Like if I say, oh, okay, you're hungry, you want lunch, okay, hold your hand out. And I give you, you know, one nice little, you know, samosa. Maliki. It looks really nice and cute. And it's perfect taste and perfect texture and perfect look and everything. Will you be satisfied? Will you be happy with that? Most likely not. You ask, what happened to the rest, you know? Is there more where this came from? Huh? So, quantity also, you know, is playing a role. Now, I got news for you. Your quality is your quantity. How, what does that mean? You know, quality sometimes is hard to define. Sometimes very hard to get, you know, to grab it and to grasp it and to quantify it and to actually measure it. But I have seen devotees who have made a consistent effort to increase their scores, what happened? Their quality increased automatically. Why? You put more effort in? So much endeavor? What else? You acquired good qualities. What else?
In order to actually continue doing it, you have to have good quality to be satisfied.
In order to do it over a prolonged period of time, you have to develop these qualities. Otherwise, you don't make it. So that's why we're saying double it. That's what Prabhupada said. That was his motto. You know, double means twice as much. Now, we might think, how is this possible? But from our perspective, it's quite possible. I got a friend in Delhi. His name is Rakesh Oberoi, you know. He goes to people and gets them to buy 5 or 10,000 gitas. Now he works on it the whole year. He cultivates them, he gives them gifts, he makes them happy, he brings them to the temple. And then, boom. Sticks it to the man. 5,000 gitas, 10,000 gitas. Huh? Yeah, doing huge.
One man,
27,000 meters. Now we might say this is beyond my scheme. But you know, if you do one book with the same effort, you could give 2 books. That's double it. Is it so complicated? Is it so? You just try it. Instead of giving always 1, 1, 1, you just give 2. And they ask why. You say they go together. Oh, okay. Right? Like when they serve you, you know? They serve you the samosa, the chutney or something. Or, you know, they go together. It's just the way it is. Now, every 50th or 100th person will say, no, I only want the samosa, or I only want the chutney. Okay, then you just take this. Fine, fair enough. But in general, whatever you say, boss. You understand? You're making the rules. You remember, in the beginning? You make the rules. We were distributing in Europe, in the 80s, small sets of books. 3 books, 5 books, 7 books. They would just hand people stacks of books. And no matter what the donation was, they would just give them those books. Because there was another program of collection, and they didn't sell them for twice as much. So just, you know, everybody just got a big package. But you just try. Instead of giving one book, give 2 books into the hand. You know what's another effect? Then it's either or. Shall I take this one or shall I take that one? But the question, if you give one book, it's one or nothing. But if you give two, it's this one or that one. You understand the mind? Huh? But it's all up here. It's all in our mind. We think, oh, it can't be done. So much money, you know. 2 books. It's not too complicated. If they say yes, the same effort to say yes to one book or to say yes to a full set, it's the same yes. It's the same check. It's the same paper which they give you. It's all up here. It's all in our mind. If you're convinced that this can be done, you can go out and you can change people's lives. You can make people devotees. Right there, on the spot. Because people are looking for something better, you know? People are looking for an alternative way of life, something of better quality, better interaction, better relationships, better everything. And if they truly see that you've got it, and you're living it, whatever you got, I want it. And some are ready to pay the price. Not just money, but also personally, individually, to make the commitment. That puts a great responsibility on us. So the point was scores. Initially we start off and we think, oh, I'm here, I'm doing this much, and this guy's doing that much, and I want to beat this one, and I want to beat that one. That's fine, that's good. It's a start. It's not, you know, selfless, pure devotional service, but it's a start. It's movement, you know, it's something we can work with. Somebody sitting in his cave and saying, you know, nothing's happening, it's all bad, the world's bad, nobody likes me. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, to work. But if somebody already is moving, then you just have to direct the energy, give it a little guidance, you know. It's like when you start riding your bicycle. You ride a bike, no? You're a big boy. So, initially, what happens? Initially, you just got to get on that bike and you just got to start doing the thing, right? Then, of course, the steering, it's not so easy, you know? But after a while, you get a hang of it. And then you can drive your bicycle nicely. So, in the same way, initially, you just start going. Get that engine going. Start cranking. I remember, we knew. I got to do 25 books a day, you know? 6 days a week, that's 150 books. That's what it took to be on Sankirtan full time. If you do less than that, means you can't even pay for your own expenses. So you're costing the temple or the Sankirtan team Lakshmi. So then you do another service. Because it's bad business to lose money while doing business. Right? So, and what does 25 books a day mean? It means you go out 6 hours a day. It means you do 4 books an hour. It means every quarter of an hour, every 15 minutes, you sell 1 book. But if you're smart, you can also sell 2 books every what? Every half an hour. And then you also have your 4 books an hour. Huh? Or you can give 1 person 4 books. And then instead of just sitting on your backside for the next 50 minutes, you figure, hey, I can do more than that. It's actually possible. I can actually, you know, 100 books. 6 hours? You know, 16 books an hour? Every 4 minutes a book? Or every 20 minutes somebody who takes 5 books? It's not so difficult. Huh? Is it? It's not so complicated. It's doable. So, just make some plan. Why is he able to give somebody 27,000 Bhagavad Gita? He's not going there, maybe, perhaps, this and that. How do you feel today? What do you think? No. He just knows this guy got 27,000 workers. So, that means every worker needs a Bhagavad Gita. You know that in the United States of America, there is officially 250 million, how many people? Approximately. Give or take a few. You know how many Bibles they sell every year? Take a wild guess. In the United States of America, every year they're selling 25 million Bibles. That's 10%. That means every 10th person. Yeah, it means the shops, they're printed and sold. Or sponsored books, given away for free, whatever. 25 million copies of Bibles going out every year. God bless America. I mean, it's pretty amazing. That means in India, you got 1.2 billion people. You know, that means 120 million Gitas every year. Now we're doing, you know, we did 6,000 books in the marathon, or we did 2,000. That's great, that's wonderful. But if you look at the amount of people out there, the population, we haven't started yet. We're still like here, you know? Like this is a laboratory, you know? You know laboratory? You do things in little, you know, in little doses, just to try it out. Down there, that's the big kitchen. That's where, you know, the noise and the smoke and the fire happens. Here, this is the laboratory. This is the test phase, the training phase. But once you get it down, and you got your recipe down, and you got all the ingredients and the attitude and the people and all the components, then once the formula works, you can add volume. And you can go as high, the sky's the limit. You can go as high as you want, because your formula works. But first we got to get ourselves the winning formula. Something that works. Something that's sustainable. Which means, what does sustainable mean? It means it's a positive experience for the person who does it, for the person who receives it, for everybody. Otherwise, if you're doing the yajna but you get burned, or the people get burned, then it's not going to happen over the long period of time. So positive attitude, positive spirit. Become an ambassador of goodwill. Spread goodwill. Create a lot of good, you know, goodwill in people. Because people will remember that. Oh, this person was very nice. Even I didn't take the book. It was very nice. And the next time they'll buy. So many times people, they just come and look at the books, right? Even on book tables and like that. And then next time, second, third time, then they have some confidence, then they buy. You know, there's devotees everywhere. People see the books and they see the devotees over a prolonged period of time. But if they have one bad interaction, they feel that these people are insensitive, they're not nice, you know, they're not nice to deal with, then next time they see a devotee, immediately, oh, it's not nice. Like if you had a bad experience with police, the next time you see uniform, oh, okay. Did you ever have such type of feeling? Huh? Officials or certain type of people? Authorities, teachers? So we gotta make sure people have a positive experience when they meet the Hare Krishna. Otherwise next devotee they meet, they're like... And then it takes a lot of energy, you know, to bring him back to neutral, from burnt to neutral. So how to increase the scores? Well, number one, proper attitude. Number two, perseverance, being persistent, continuing for the long run. Number three, making an actual plan. Have a plan. Okay, how much effort, how much energy, how much time am I going to put into this yajna? What is my goal? What do I want to achieve? So in this way, you can always increase. Everybody can increase. From wherever we are, we can always increase our score. Sometimes it doesn't show in numbers, but certainly at the, in the quality of the interaction and in the quality of our experience, of what we get out of it and what the person gets out of it, I think we can all increase tremendously. And as I said before, sometimes you just have to floor it and you try to increase the score and the quality also increases. If you just try to work quality but there is no quantity involved, it kind of becomes hypothetical. It becomes very theoretical. It doesn't really go anywhere. So don't be scared to actually do big, you know? It's not forbidden. It's not against the law. And sometimes you get a little carried away, you know? And you start giving books to people who maybe ordinarily wouldn't take books, or you start to give many books to people, like that. But then you can adjust, you can fine-tune, you know? Sometimes you overstep the line, then you take yourself back a little bit. That's required. But it means there has to be a constant effort, there has to be a constant endeavor. Any questions on this? Absolutely not. Should be illegal. Banned.
Sometimes people are watching the Haridam machine, they approach the book tonight when you leave.
They may want to?
They may even enjoy watching the Haridam.
And then they want to leave, they just take off.
Yeah,
you have to know what you're doing. It's a great thing to distribute books with Harinam, because people are already there, they're hearing the holy name, they get purified, there's attraction, there's interaction. But then you have to kind of know whether they want to deal with you or not. You know, they're already watching the Harinam and they're hearing the holy name, so if you coming with the book makes them go away, that means, what does that mean?
You go away.
Huh? You better you go away and let them stay and listen to the Harinam. So you have to kind of know how to interact with people who go on Harinam, who watch and listen to Harinam.
Sometimes they watch it because they just want to have a good time watching. Sometimes they're actually interested. How do you know they want some of them?
Well, you never know till you know. I show you the book and I tell you who you are. That's how it works. That's the magic. That's the mystery. You never know. Once I was distributing books in Zug, town in Switzerland, there's a guy in the train station. There's these underground passageways underneath the train station. I was distributing there. He looked dirty and kind of smelly and this and that, but I kind of almost bumped into him with my stack of books. Not an ordinary person you would approach, right? And he just looked at the back of the books and he said, "80 bucks and under Swami Prabhupada. I got 7 of these books. I read these books. I love these books. These are the best books I've ever read." Now here is a person who looks like down and out, but because we judge and we, you know, so you never know by their reception. We ran on Harinam in Washington, D.C. just after the Warped Tour. And there's about 70 devotees out there. Men, women, old people, young people, suit and tie, shirt and pants, you know, saris and dhotis, the united colors of Hare Krishna, you know, the whole thing. And we were distributing books on the side, and it was great. And there was some African-American lady, still like 55, 60-year-old, about 4 of them, you know, very well-dressed, respectable. They watched, they looked, and they moved slowly, you know, they were like slowing down, but moving. And then I went up to them, they looked at me and they said, "Do you know that you're very happy people? Do you know that you're very happy people?" You know? And a real compliment, you know? I said, "Yeah, thank you. You know why?" And then boom, 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 I put a book into each of their hands. And they all gave a donation. It's got to be quick, you know? And not so much talking. Because already the Harinam is there. There's not much to explain, you know? Once I was in Berlin distributing books in Rabbi Yatra, in a dhoti, was carrying a trolley and it's 100 hardcover, you know, maha books and big books, just walking beside the Rashi Yatra car. There's nothing to say. I mean, what is this? Well, open your eyes, you know? This is what it is. That's what it is, you know? Here, that's it. You take it, you give a donation. Honey, boom! Oh! Okay! Whatever you say, boss. It is what you want it to be. You make the rules. Don't think you can get into, you know, some very deep discussion. There's Harinam going on, people running all over the place. But it's good, you know, it draws the people, and those who don't want to have anything to do, it kind of separates the sincere from the insincere, they kind of leave. But then those who are kind of half-half, you have to know how to deal with them. But it's very good. I love doing books with Harinam. And in fact, it's very easy for new people to start distributing books because it builds their confidence level. It makes them comfortable. Oh, we're going out on Harinam. And they're giving out a few books. But it's not like, hey, let's go on Sankirtan and let's do this, you know. But it's primarily, we go on Harinam. And we distribute a few books. I started distributing by distributing prasadam. In 84, I went to the major events we had. We went to all these rock festivals and music festivals. And we distributed tons of prasadam there. So you just walk around with a tray of halava. And you learn how to stop people, you know, how to suss them out, how to tackle them, how to corner them, how to go about it in a way that they have to take it. Or you start distributing invitation cards, leaflets. And then you know what it takes. You know how to connect to people and so they take something. So you don't put it to their face. You don't cram it into their chest or their stomach, but you give it to them in a nice way, you know, so they can actually take it. So if the book thing is too hard, start off with prasadam and with invitation cards. And eventually you'll learn. Whatever it is, just start distributing. And all of a sudden you feel like, hey, this is easy. I mean, everybody's taking it. After a while you get it down that like 9 out of 10 people will just take prasadam or invitation card. Then you're ready. You know, you start with books. Definitely do it. Absolutely. Any other questions on increasing scores? Confidence, personal interaction, and tolerance. And inspiration to continue, yeah. Number one, whatever makes you most comfortable. If you're most comfortable in a suit and tie, wear a suit and tie. If you're most comfortable in a dhoti, wear a dhoti. If you're comfortable in a shirt and a pant, you wear that. You know why? If you're comfortable, you got a good chance that the other person will also feel comfortable about it. As long as it's respectful, it's got to be nice. But don't, you know, if you're on a team, the members of the team of the party should do the same thing. Otherwise it becomes weird. So whatever's going on, try to kind of have a unified look. I've done both. I like both. Dhoti is great. The other thing also works. Depends on the situation, also where you're going. Some places, you know, may not be 100% legit, you know. So you may have to go a little undercover. You work inside the mall, where there's cameras and security, you know, shaved head, sika, dhoti. I don't think it would last too long. So you have to be a little discriminate, considerate. Use your intelligence. But learn both. Learn all the different ways. Then at one point, it's just, it's not a problem. But being in a dhoti forces you to act like a devotee, because people expect a monk to behave in a certain way. So actually, it's a very good training. But I've seen even people in dhoti not, you know, being consistent. So it's not the package, the content. Yes.
Experience of book distribution in India, Indian cities. There's a difference between the book distribution here and in Mexico.
Slightly. Slightly.
But do you have experience?
A little bit. I've tried. I mean, I've done book tables, I've done the train, I've done on the street. I didn't do door-to-door or shop-to-shop yet. In a sense, I did, because I went to Kolkata so many times for marketing and always carried books, and I sold so many books. It works everywhere. It's a universal formula. But you have to know your prospect. You have to know the situation you're in and how to deal with that situation. Everything works. You can distribute books. You know, they're doing the red light, stop sign. Like, you go anywhere in the stop sign, you can have a guy who comes up with a stack of books, and they're selling all types of books to people on a stoplight. Devotees are selling prophets. There is not a place where you can distribute books.
Yes. We come from Victoria, and our country, the Indian population is quite large, and because the devotees are well known for country, so for us, we could just, you know, I'd say, you know, could you give a donation to the temple, and people would give. So is that a good strategy to distribute books, or should we be more philosophical, talk about, you know, or just...
Whatever works. Whatever works for the people, whatever works for you, that's fine. General, there's so many people who just want to do charity work and they will just give money. They will even take books, but they don't get very much involved in it. But it really depends on us, what our level of expertise and appreciation. Like, I was just in Bali, and they've got so many Hindu temples all over the island. Now, to go on the street is not so easy, because there's a lot of tourists, and then the locals, they already know something about it, you know, they're Hindus. But if you go to all these temples where they have all these festivals and functions, and you just put a book table, you make friends with the management by giving them prasada, giving some gifts, then you get the permission that in your big festival, we'll just come and put our table with Bhagavad Gita. Is that okay? Oh, definitely it's okay. They don't have books, they don't have a philosophy, they just do the puja thing. So you come and you do the books there. And people, they will buy books. So you just have to devise some strategies. In some places people are comfortable on the street, in some places they're comfortable door to door, in some places they're comfortable, you know, in festivals. So basically speaking, what it boils down to is, where are you comfortable? What can you relate to? Because as we said in the beginning, it is whatever you want it to be. You make the rules. So if it's good with you, then it's good for everybody. If you're not comfortable, you think something is weird here, something's funny, should I be here, is the wrong situation, then you may have to adapt, or you may have to change your mentality. And sometimes we think, oh, people should just come on their own, or they should just, you know, give some money. But, you know, Prabhupada wasn't in that mood. He really didn't bother that much. He went out to inject Krishna consciousness into the dull brains of humanity at large, even to the people who were callous, who were indifferent, who were ignorant. He still gave them Krishna consciousness. It's just like when there's an epidemic, then vaccinations and, you know, measures are put into place in order to prevent the whole place from just going to the dogs, from just dying. So in the same way, materialism is rampant, and people are just totally enamored by Kali Yuga. So what can we do? We just have to go out there and really make a concentrated effort to give people Prabhupada's book. So you use your intelligence. Whatever, you know, whatever works. Through society, through clubs, through bookstores, through festivals, through mail order, through, you know, SMS advertisement. What they were also doing, like in the Middle East, was that they said, okay, they made a scheme. You want to donate? You should pay a certain amount of money, and we'll give the book of your choice to one of your relatives in India. And then the BBT in Juhu, they pay the money in the Caribbean or in the Middle East or wherever you are, and then all your relatives back home in India, in the motherland, they get the book in the mail as a gift with compliments from such and such, you know, from Trinidad or Tobago or whatever. Wow, I got a Gita, you know, this person's been thinking about me, and, you know, then BBT Jew does the fulfillment, and they send out thousands and thousands and thousands of books like that. So they might say, I already have the book, but there's so many schemes where we can distribute so many books. They have sponsored books, libraries, prisons, subsidized books. You can send millions of books to Africa, to other places where people don't have so much money to purchase. So we're not saying we're against the money, but what we're saying is try to touch people's hearts. Because once you've got their heart, the money is included, you know. The money is the, it's just add on. It follows. But once you get somebody's heart, somebody's commitment, you get them to actually experience it themselves. Like you ask people sometimes, if they say, oh, I already have this and this, then you ask them, do you want to help me? You know? Because if you already have this and you like it, you know that this is something solid, can you help me, you know? And then they experience what it means to distribute some books. They get some bliss, you know? You ever engage somebody in distributing books?
Yeah.
Huh? Any of you? Or you think, no, you have to be Brahmin initiated, chanting, you know, taking 3 showers.
Well, actually works here with Indian people.
Yeah. Works great. Or they might not be so much concerned about themselves, but when you say you can gift it to somebody else, oh yeah, okay. You know? You find whatever you can appeal to, whether it's you start off with the heart, you try to just make the connection to heart. If that doesn't work, if they're too covered or we're too covered or both, then you try to appeal, you know, to their good logic and sense, to their intellect. If that doesn't work, you know, you just put it in front of their face and say, look here, it smells good. Take it. Nice pictures. It's a big book for little money. It's a good deal. Huh? You can try so many different things, whatever works. But ultimately, the easiest, the most sublime, the most satisfying, and the most inspiring book distribution is when you just feel a strong desire to share your happiness, your good luck, your good fortune with others. And you just want to make people happy. You just want to make people fortunate. You just want to give them the chance to participate, because this is really the need of the hour. Huh? Yes?
И очень успешно. Если его наградите, скажем, по этому опыту истории.
I heard that you distribute books in America. Can you tell about your experience?
Last time.
My last experience? I just told you. We were traveling in a van for 2 months all over the United States and Canada. There's some very inspiring devotees. And we were just distributing 6 to 8 hours a day, and sometimes only 4 hours. And driving 6 to 8 hours a day, sometimes 14 hours. And it was very intense. It was very purifying. What else do you want to know?
How much?
Who were those devotees? Parameshwar Prabhu. He was commander in chief, then Ananda Vidya, Omkar, Advaita Charya, and myself. Some brahmacharis and some van acharis. You know, Vanaprastha. Van aprasta means you live in a van.
How much moves the month? How much you sleep?
It's too early in the day to talk about numbers.
How many books go on for the quantity?
Well, we just knew that every week we get a shipment of books. So our quota was just, we got to empty this van because we'll get a new shipment of books. You know, that's a different type of strategy. If you're thinking, oh, my score and my results and 10 books here and 5 books there and 20 books there, you know, they just take kind of small time. But your motto should be, let's just fill up this vehicle, you know, whatever it is, your private car or your trolley or whatever, or your book bag, and let's just finish this as quickly as possible. And then we'll fill it up again, and then we'll empty it out, and then we'll fill it up, and then we empty it out. That's much better mentality than this, you know, 5 books, 10 books, 20 books, me, my score, how much did I do? You understand? My focus, my ambition, my motto is, I want to give everybody something. Every person I meet, I want to give them something. Maybe one book, maybe two, maybe more, maybe just a smile, maybe some encouraging words, but try to give something to everybody you meet. Just give everybody something. And at the end of the day, whatever the score is, that's what it is, you know. Some days it's more, some days it's less, so what, you know. It's good to have an idea of what you're expecting, because clear expectations, you know, avoid a lot of disappointment. So, otherwise you say, whatever you like, just give from your heart, whatever you want, you know, and people come and they pull out, you know, 20 cents. And then you go, what is this? You creep, you writer, you know? I mean, look at this, it's 1,000 pages, and you give me 20 cents? You said whatever you give. You make the rules, remember? Like Vaisheshi Prabhu was telling me from a devotee who was going door to door distributing, and the man was not interested. He just didn't want the book. Full stop, period. So the devotee just said, anything you give, even a penny, that's okay. So the guy said, a penny? Okay, alright. And he went back to his kitchen. And he told his wife, you got a penny? And she said, a penny for what? And you know, there's this guy at the door, you know, with this book, you know, this monk and this and that. And I got to give him a penny for a book. And you know what she said? Hell no, you're not giving that boy a penny. You give him $50. So that's the penny principle. Sometimes you have to be ready to accept one penny. And you'll be surprised. You might get $50. It's possible. But that means you're open to Krishna's mercy. You're open to whatever comes, you know? And you're in a very giving mood. And then, usually it comes back. But if you have expectations in the back of your head, but because you're attached, you say, just give whatever you like, but at least as much, then people feel that, and they don't really reciprocate.
If you just say, we charge as much.
Whatever works in your situation. In some places we're selling, in some places we're accepting donations, in some places it's suggested. Whatever works in the local, you know. I usually go the other way around. I ask people, if you go to a bookstore, how much do you think this book would cost? And then they say, well, about $35, $40. You say, yeah. But today's your lucky day. We're not selling them. People just give a donation to cover up the cost. Then they ask, well, how much do people give? He said, well, most people give 20. Some people give 10. You know, do the best you can. Now, in India, it's fixed price. I know. Fixed price. 80 rupee, 100 rupee, 120 rupee, like that. But you'll see that the distributors who actually do a lot of books, they're also a bit more flexible, you know. Sometimes you may have a student, you give a book for 50 rupees. Sometimes you have a wealthy person, might give you a few hundred rupees. It happens, you know. So we can't be too much uptight. I'm mainly doing books in the web, so there is a different thing. The sky is the limit. Like when I fly, I always take the Bhagavad Gita with me, and Krishna always puts a nice person next to me. I go to the last flight I took, a young girl sitting down next to me, you know, she throws her book there on the seat, and already the attitude I saw, oh, it's going to be difficult. You know, like you just see, just by looking at somebody, by the way they act, their mannerisms, you know. And then comes this businessman down the aisle and looks at his boarding pass and he says, excuse me, miss, I think you're in my seat. And I'm like, inside, thank you, Krishna. I knew there was a God. So she left, she was in the wrong seat row, so she went, he sat down, business guy, you know, took out my Gita, just handed it to him. They can't run anywhere, you know? They got nowhere to go. They got them for 2 hours. You got them cornered. And then the bottom line, you know, okay, we're monks. We don't sell these. You just give a donation from your heart. And ask, well, how much do people give? I say, usually they give about a lakh, you know? 100,000 rupees. He's like, they start smiling, you know? And I say, okay, you just give whatever you like, you know, a few hundred rupees. Many people give me 500 rupees or 1,000 rupees for a Gita. Not a problem. If you think it's not a problem, then it's not a problem. If we value these books, people will appreciate them. You know what? How much is minimum? How much, you know? Like if they're not really that generous, then you just tell them, look, they just cost me that much, and then they give you that much. And sometimes they give you a little less, and sometimes they give you a little more, and you can't get upset, or you can't get too excited, because you just got to carry on, you know? You just got to continue. Whatever works for you. But if you walk around with that sign around your head, you know, around your neck, give me $1, give me one rand, and you look like that, you look like a $1 kid, then $1 is all you're going to get. But if you look like a $20 person, or a $50, or a $100 person, then that's what you're going to get. It really depends on you. After a while, you learn the art, you learn the style, you know, that initially, you just say, you know, donation for this much, that much. That's, I think it's different, it's fixed price. We're talking in Western world, Western mentality. I'm not selling a product for a particular price. I'm selling happiness. I'm selling fun, and you know, and that's priceless. So whatever is worth to you. I was down in Melkote, down south near Bangalore, Ramanujacharya's place where he was in exile for 14 years. Our spiritual master, Radha Swami, and some God brothers, we had a retreat there. And then when we got back from the temple to our Dharamshala, the little ashram where we stayed, there was a young kid from Israel. I mean, he's like 28 or something, with his camera. And he was there just checking the place out. He came on a day trip to take some pictures. And just by seeing him, I immediately knew, book, you know, he's right here. That's your book today. So I just talked to him a little bit, got the book. Then he came with us to the next bus station when we left to go back to Bangalore. And he went back to, what is the other city? What's the other big city? No. Mysore, exactly. He did a yoga class there. And I just told him, you know, whatever you want to give, that's fine. So I gave him a Perfection of Yoga. It's very great. Gita's and Perfection of Yoga. Very nice book to travel with. And stands for self-realization. Give him Perfection of Yoga. And I said, you give whatever you like to give. You know, it's a 10 rupee book. They sell this for 10 rupees in India. Perfection of Yoga. He gave me 120 rupees. But he's thinking, you know, $2, I mean, hey. So you learn after a while. Of course, there's so many things you can say about strategy. Okay, in the beginning you're more general, and then when they take it and go for the money, then you mention some numbers and you're more specific. That can all be done, that can all be learned. But it's about the mood, the attitude. If they feel that you're in a mood of giving, they'll participate. Is that okay? Other points, yes.
I was just going to ask, like, when the people say no, do you just say, okay, have a nice day, or do you, like, cry a little bit?
It depends how they say no. Sometimes no means no. Sometimes no means get out of my way, you know, or I'll pick you up, put you down, and walk all over you. Sometimes no means I'm confused, I'm not so sure, what is this all about? No may mean, hey, slow down. No may mean, I don't like your attitude. I don't like your face. No can mean so many things. Sometimes no means yes, and sometimes yes means no. Do you ever realize that? So in Sankirtan, you have to, you know, you have to get into things. You can ask three times nicely. Once they say three times no, usually forget it. That's why if you ask people, do you believe in God? No. You know? Are you any generous? No. You want to buy this book? No. Okay, forget it. If they say three times yes, usually they take it. This is for all the nice people. Are you a nice person? Yes. Huh? That's a good one, huh? You just ask them, are you a nice person? Yes, of course. This is for all the smart people. Are you smart? Oh yeah, sure. Huh? Can you give a donation? Yeah, sure, of course. You understand? Psychology. But why do they say no? A lot of times they say no because either it's unclear, it's vague, it's ambiguous, they're not really impressed, they can't really grasp what's going on, it's not really clear who you are, what the book is, what they can get out of it. Sometimes you just have to go back to square one and start it again, you know? It's like if they've been spacing out. Sometimes you just have to grab their attention and bring it back, you know? Listen and watch, right here. Look me in the eye. Stay with me. And then you start again. Sometimes people are just too confused, too bewildered. They're all over the place. And you have to kind of... You learn that. After some years of saying something. How to grab people's minds and to actually, you know, get their attention and keep them focused. And know how long it takes and how deep you can go without that they feel that you're probing, you know, that it's starting to get painful. But you're also not just staying on the superficial, on the high and buy platform. So it's got to have just the right amount of, you know, depth. Yes.
Prabhu, what if you give a book to somebody and they want the book, but their friend doesn't want them to take the book? And you can tell their friend is going to influence them not to take the book.
Then there's different things you can do. First you have to see how much friends they are, you know. If they're just friends, then who cares? You make up your own mind, right? I mean, he's not your custodian, or is he? I mean, he's not looking after you. You're kind of like friends, like buddies, friends, right? So it's, you make your own decisions. Even in, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband-wife relationships, you have to know who is in charge, who is the leader, who wears the pants. You can find it out pretty fast. If not, just ask who's in charge here, you know. And they usually go or like that. Okay, then you know who you can deal with, you know. Then you know, like, who's got the money. Usually the person who's got the money is the person who starts walking. So then you're like, hey, come on. I came all the way from India to America, and now you're treating me like this? Now you're giving me this attitude? Just walking away from me? You know how that makes me feel? Come back here. Now, if you catch them in the act, they'll know that you know what's going on. And they'll come back and they'll interact with you. Otherwise, you're preaching to the guy and you're preaching and you're preaching, and she's out there shopping and spending it. So, you've got a great thing going, you know? But I can tell you right ahead, there is no money in town, you know? The money went out shopping. So if you've got a couple and one person takes off, make sure you ask that little important question. Where is the money? Right in the beginning, right when they're ready to take off. When you have a group of friends, you ask, who's the smartest amongst you? And then they all go like this, you know. And then you deal with that person. But it creates a good energy, you know. You keep it positive. What was your question again? I got off track.
How do you keep them, how do you get them to commit to taking the book, even if their friend doesn't want them to have it?
Yeah, the friend thing, exactly. Sometimes you just have to tell them to stand up for themselves. Whatever works, whatever gets the job done. Sometimes I have to tell to one person, you just shut up. He's old enough. I think he can make up his own mind. Sometimes you have to put them in their place. It works. Whatever works. Sometimes you see they're too weak, they're too whimsical, too flimsy. It doesn't go anywhere. They don't really have any substance to themselves, or their interest is not really profound. You just say, have a great day. Thanks for taking your time looking at this book. He'll leave with a positive impression. And the next time when he's alone, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go out and buy that book. You know why? Because you were nice to him. Even though his friend was a jerk, you were nice to him. And you didn't rub it in. But if you make him feel bad, next time, he'll avoid you. Leave everybody with a good impression. Always pays for the long run. There's different things you can do to play people against each other, this and that, but I won't get into the intricacies here. You know, this is more advanced stuff. We do book distribution 101. See how the energy flows. When you have a group of people, same thing. Find out who's the most positive, who's the most interested. Find out who's the leader. Okay, there's always the funny guy. There's always the no person. There's always the person who, you know, who wants to draw the attention. Usually funny guy is the one who wants to draw the attention to himself. So, but you have to find out who is that person who really wants it. So you mainly deal with that person. And the others is just damage control. You just keep them occupied. You do a little song and a dance, you know, just to keep them occupied, but you deal with this person, and you actually give this person the book. But the other people feel, yeah, we're also getting some attention, like that. And if they don't want it, they'll just walk off. Let them walk. Stick to the people who want it. Out of a group, there's always one or two, they're into it. Don't bother about the rest. If you have got momentum, if you got oomph, if you got power, if you're connected, you got Shakti, you give a book into everybody's hands and you work them like they would be one person. One person, just in different forms. One mind, just in different bodies. And you get them to take. Not so easy, but it's doable. You can also say, you know, if somebody gives $20, that will be for everybody. And it works. You give them the chance to be generous. One kid always takes out the 20. Because they want to feel like, hey, you know, I'm buying this for my people. It always works. What also works is if you get the first person who's interested, or the first person who goes for the money, go for it. Let him do it. Even though it may be a small donation, whatever. Let him do it. Let him take the book and give some money. It puts pressure on the others. And all of a sudden they all start, you know, okay, all right. If that's what's going on, that's what's going on, okay. Because we're a group, right? We go, we eat at the same place. We go, we watch the same movie. We go, we do the same stuff. We're a group. We're friends. We do this together. Peer pressure. Very powerful. You have to know how it works. But for that you have to feel what's the energy, you know? Like what kind of people is this? What's their relationship? You have to know these things. Otherwise, you waste a lot of time and energy. Initially, work one-on-one. Work with individuals. Later on, you can increase. But then, two people is also fine. But you have to respect them, you know, and you have to respect their choice. As soon as they feel that you're trying to corner them, you're trying to force them into something, one or the other person will want out. So, let them out. Don't try to go into that, you know, push mode. It works if you're connected and you have the shakti to do it. Otherwise, just be nice, connect to them on an individual level, and then give them a book. Other questions? Pray.
You said in the beginning that if you, in 30 seconds, if you look up to somebody, you will immediately say, so my question is, does it imply a group, and why
is it?
Is it this implying for the group? Probably not. But the most important question is, why 30 seconds? Why maybe 35 or...
31 and a half. It works for groups as well as for individuals. It all depends on how much energy you can project and how you can deal with people. If you just go there, you just, you know, if I would just be looking at you and talking to you, not turning left or right, they would feel neglected. And at one point they would feel like, okay, we got a nice thing going here, and that's kind of nice, but, you know, what's it to me? I mean, he can't even turn his head and acknowledge me that I'm here, you know, I came too, and I want to listen and, you know, I want to get some acknowledgement. So you have to acknowledge people. You know what acknowledge means? You understand? Acknowledge? It means that I appreciate that you're here. You know, you give them the vibration, the energy, that yes, I've seen you, I respect you, and I'm happy that you're here. 50% of your books are already distributed. If you only learn how to do that, you learn to acknowledge people, to appreciate them, and to show them that you're happy that they're there. And 30 seconds is not, you know, a strict alarm clock kind of a thing. It just means it's quick, you know. It's not the long or the medium, but it's the quick way of distributing the book. Which in some situations is just necessary. Like in a concert, it's too loud. So you got to keep it, you know, under 30 seconds.
Another question is, in the beginning, you said, you know, you learn something from maybe a few super travel,
yeah.
Find out something. And do a course, you know, like, you know, a lot of experience. How is it happening that you learn so much successful?
I learn every day. I learn right now. I learn from you. If you don't realize it, this is not just a study course for you, this is a study course for me. I'm learning from you, from every question, from every interaction. I see how you react. I study people. This is my job, this is what I do. After a while, you see people walking down the street, you know their job, you know their age, you know how much money they make, you know whether they love their dog or they had a fight with their friend. You know as much as you need to know. Why? Because this is what you do. You may say, this is not interesting to me, you know, I don't want to know these things. Prabhupada went to America, he sat in Butler, Pennsylvania for 5 months. He went to attend a program in the cultural program, and he wrote back to a friend in India and he said, today I'm going to see Indian classical dance. Now I have not seen Indian dance in 40 years. I'm not interested in seeing, you know, women in costumes dancing. But I want to study two things. Number one, how do the American people appreciate our Indian culture and tradition? And number two, what are the social customs? How are people interacting? Because, you know, if you come from India, you go to America, it's a different ballgame. You know, like you go up to somebody in America and you pat them on the back and you go like, hey, you know, what's up? They think you're cool. You try to do that in India? You pat somebody on the shoulder? I did it once to my accountant. I just very slightly. He really got disturbed. Because this is just not what you do, right? In India, you don't walk up to people and you pat them on the shoulder. Maybe in Bombay or in Delhi or something, but not here. In Bengal, you take their hand, you hold their hand, you know, and you rub their hand. And they like that. You do that in America? Huh? Go up to those army boys, you know, sitting in the back of their truck, you know, drinking their beer, you hold their hand, and you get a different type of reaction. You understand? We're talking here human psychology. This is 101. You got to know what works. That means it's different in every place. The principle is the same. What works? What gets the person to appreciate you? If it means being tough, if it means being humble, if it means being funny, if it means being intellectual, if it means being whatever. Within limits, but you know, the scope is pretty big. The best thing is just be a natural, just be yourself. That's the most attractive thing. Why? Because it's real. It's not fake. You're not faking it. You're just doing this because it's you. And you just enjoy doing this. And if you see somebody who's a natural, like, you know, Janani Vaz and Pankajangir, they're naturals, you know? They're doing it. They're living it. They're walking the talk. You just see that. Wow. You know? If you see somebody who is enjoying what they're doing for Krishna, that's very attractive. So if you come to the point where you actually become a natural and you start to actually enjoy Sankirtan in a positive way, you know, in a spiritual way, in a Krishna conscious way, means you're comfortable being the servant. You're comfortable being submissive to Krishna and to Guru. You'll become empowered. People will be drawn to you.
Do you have some main teachers
There's always main teachers, then there's minor teachers, there's new teachers coming in. But you've got to be able to learn from every person you meet. Yeah, but sometimes you're in a place, you're in a situation, there is no other devotees around. There is no, you know. So then you've got to learn from what? You've got to learn from the young bhaktas. You've got to learn from the people on the street. One time in Australia, I walked up to a couple, they came out of the mall, I wanted to give them a book, they looked at me, and they said, unbutton this button here, you know? And they were, you know, I was wearing a polo shirt, and it looked, probably it looked a little tight. I was comfortable, but for them it looked, so I said, okay, fine, fair enough. Thank you for that. I could have said, mind your own business. I mean, I said thank you for that. They bought two books. They were very happy. Sometimes people tell you, hey, slow down, you know? Slow down, man. Relax. Catch your breath, you know? Take your time. Sometimes people tell you these things. Be more clear. Stand up for yourself. Be more like this, be more like that. Maybe it's Krishna speaking through that person, telling you something. Am I ready to listen to this person? Are we ready to take gold from a filthy place? Good advice from a person who may not have all good qualities? Otherwise we get into the category, oh, I can't listen to you, I can't listen to you, I can't listen to you, because you look like this, because you do like this, and you know, then at the end, people even say, you know, I can't get it from the books. I can't get it from anybody. That's the Duryodhana mentality, right? I'm too qualified. I'm too professional. I'm too sophisticated. I'm too smart. I'm too everything. That's a very sad and very lonely and very depressive kind of a moment. But if you're in a proper Sankirtan spirit, you can learn from everybody. Like you heard this morning in Bhagavatam. You learn from the child, you learn from the bumblebee, you learn from, you know, from nature, all these things. See everything in connection to Krishna. Because everything is connected to Krishna. Not a single blade of grass moves without the sweet will of the Lord. After a while, you will see how Krishna is personally sending you exactly the type of people that you need. The nice ones and the tough ones. Personally sent by Krishna. And then you go like, wow. It's like, you know, the demons and the demigods churning the milk ocean, and Krishna is everywhere, you know. He's under the mountain, on top of the mountain, you know, helping them pull. In fact, there is nothing that is not related to Krishna in the entire creation. But we think, no, I can do this my way. Just watch. I'm going to distribute this book now without Krishna's help. And then we're surprised if we screw up, you know.
According to how we surrender Krishna, how much desire we have,
and when you're ready, Krishna will send teachers. If you're ready to listen, there's so many good teachers, so many qualified teachers. But if you're not ready to listen, we don't want to learn, then we're way over time here. No, you got another engagement at 12:15 in the samadhi. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for working overtime. You're not on that clock, I know. You're working for the project here. So, see you all tomorrow. Tomorrow's last day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Chandra Book Distribution ki
jai.
Well, yes, you were there.